Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
I've got fairies.
Whoop!
I've got fascists.
I've got fairies.
I've got fascists! How many times do I have to say it?
Fairies!
Fascists!
Fairies!
Fascists!
Fairies!
Date fight! Hello and welcome to Date Fight. And you know what? We'd like to have a chat with you. Nothing to worry about. Just come and sit down. Sit down. Everything's fine. Look.
Got time for a quick word?
Yeah, if we could just have a quick word. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much for all your hard work over the past 11 months. We really appreciate it. It's not easy listening to a podcast like this every day.
It's probably less easy than making it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't listen.
Yeah.
And there's a reason.
But, my God, no.
But you perhaps have, or perhaps this is your first. Regardless, it's been a brilliant 11 months. And we do sincerely want to thank you for being here, for engaging on social media at date_fight. But also... there are those among you who have supported the show via Patreon, which is a fun way of harvesting money from you, the listener, and diverting it to the bank accounts of us, the, and I use this word loosely, creators.
Which brings me.
Okay.
To me.
Yes,
I, Lizzie Roper, have gone from the unusual position of being super fan, slightly obsessed, a little bit stalkery, very unnatural, looking through their bins, to host.
Good luck.
And I didn't even nag them or blackmail them or anything.
No, I
got a couple of phone calls.
Lizzie, please
proving that desperation is the mother of Lizzie Roper.
Please don't call it a bin. That's quite upsetting.
We're coming up to a whole year. On November the 5th, we are going to have our birthday celebrations, and they're going to be very exciting. Have we got anything planned?
Yeah.
No.
Cake.
Not yet.
And an orgy. An orgy cake. An orgy cake.
That's
on
the problem. Because it's been
with
this
a bit
year.
More cake.
The plague year, we can't even have orgies with cake. I don't even have cake if someone else has touched it. So when we came up with this idea, it'll be a fun little podcast that everyone will listen to on their commute, and there'll be a little bit of something delightful every morning.
Fun
the one thing we didn't consider was that commuting would stop existing in the year that came up. Because our numbers went up. They were going really well. Doing lovely. The graphs went up, 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 up. And then it stopped. And then everyone stopped listening. Apart from you, and you're still here.
Yeah.
That makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, genuinely, thanks very much. Everyone's had their own challenges and lifestyle changes, I think, in the last 6 months.
It's been quite
the
year.
Yeah. Thank you. We've got plans for when we kind of click over into year two of Date Fight. We've got some fun plans. Frankly, I think we should just go full on filthy mucky. Your continued support means that we can really, really build the orgy cake we always dreamt of.
Orgy cake all round.
Orgy cake.
It's a drizzle cake.
And I've had a particularly fantastic idea. Oh, you leave the drizzle alone. We're going to play a joker.
First, get the drizzle down to the bottom. Yes.
We are... The boys, my boys.
Stop forking my cake.
Oh, my boys. Oh, dear. You're going to be playing a joker. Once a week, the boys, the little ones, run around. They're going to be slipping one bogus fact into one story during the week. And it's up to me at the end of the week, or any of you, really, to figure out for yourselves what that one bogus fact might be. As we've had stories that have gone from, remember that man that got the rod in his head and then he went to the doctor and he sneezed, a bit of his brain fell out. You see, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard to sort out the joker, the falsies, from the facties. But we shall do our utmost and our best. Get talking on Twitter.
Yes.
Yes, we will. It's absolutely very hard when I'm making this podcast. So we've got lots of new ideas and we're going to have a new tier structure for the Patreons, and a new newsletter, which everyone who is a patron will get. And I think we're going to give badges to everyone as well. And we're talking to businesses about giving a discount if you wear your badge into their business. Not very big businesses, yeah, or very good or exciting businesses.
You're
but
talking about your
businesses.
News agents near
yes,
you, right?
My local yeah, news agent.
But
not,
keep it local.
Not fags or booze. Is that right?
No. There will be an upper limit of £8 per
and,
spend.
And only,
it'll be very exciting.
Yes. I mean, we're not stupid.
No.
No. And we're going
to... I mean, this is quite defensive there. We're not. Yeah. We're not stupid. We're not stupid.
We've done 336 episodes trying to prove it to ourselves and our parents. So we're going to have 365 episodes of Date Fight coming up. And there will always be 365 episodes of Date Fight for free for you every day, but we'd like to make more. And so if we can hit certain targets of having new people support us, then either in terms of listens or in terms of patrons, then we can make more stuff, which will be very exciting in the upcoming year. Yes. And we're going to... Should I talk about the tiers? Should we do the tiers?
There will be
physical
tiers.
Bedtime.
There will be many tiers. Hang on. I've got the list here. Where are they? So... What we're going to... Oh, no, that's a different one. That's something else. Oh, I should have opened it anyway. I should have opened it before. I think I remember. So, if you give us £3 a month, then you will receive a badge and a newsletter, which entitles you to wear it around and say, I'm a Date Fight disciple and I demand my discount, and entitles you to be rejected by the shopkeeper who's never heard of us or the said discount. At £5, you get all of the below, and you also get access to all of the secret extra content we've put up. We've got that folder which is full of all the old Forfeit videos and the Forfeit songs we used to write. And my novel got shoved in there because I promised it for no reason. And also, you'll get access to all of the archive. Because we're going to start removing the ones that are more than a year old from off the internet, where they will disappear forever, unless you have access to the archive. At £10 a month, you get everything that was there below, and you also get a brand new podcast every single month, which will probably be about either dogs or filth. I don't know. Maybe it'll be dog filth. That doesn't sound particularly appealing.
Oh, lovely. Oh, stick that in a bag and take it
out. Sort of podcast you have to pick up and hang on a tree. And at £20 a month, you get all of the things that we mentioned before. And we had, because originally we structured all the Patreon tiers thinking, oh, yes, we can give away live stuff and we can do this. But the facts of the world nowadays mean we can't do live events. We can't do all the things we wanted to do. So we're going to take away the £50 tier completely and replace it with a £20 tier, which will give you access to a live video stream, Ask Me Anything, with the Date Fight hosts every month, so that you can find out exactly what is going on in the world of Lizzie Roper, Jake Yap, and that play.
Good.
It'll be nice to have something to have a party.
Oh, no, and we're also going to thank all of the Patreons every month. The last day of the month, we will thank you all by name on the podcast. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Nice.
High time. Good.
So thank you all.
Well, I think that's covered everything.
Hasn't it?
Shall we liberally strew innuendo across a couple of badly researched historical so-called incidents?
Sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
I'm going to take you to the 4th of October 1920, when the first photograph of the Cottingley Fairies was auctioned. Now, 1920, of course, was a time where many people had lost those near and dear to them. We were just after the First World War. It had the Spanish flu. So many people had experienced great bereavement. And Arthur Conan Doyle said, in this time of terrible loss, the question of immortality has become the burning question of the day. And he started, or didn't start, but he went to the Theosophical Society, where they talked about, are fairies real? Are ghosts real? Are goblins making me unhappy. And in 1918, two girls, Frances Griffith and Elsie Wright, were told they shouldn't mess around with their father's camera, and he wouldn't let them borrow it. But they went out, and they went to the bottom of the field, and they got muddy. They got terribly muddy and terribly wet, and they got black, and they got told off for being wet and muddy. Elsie and Frances, how dare you come back so muddy? And they said, oh, it was the fairies done it. The fairies done pushed us in some mud, mother. And she said, don't be stupid, and beat them soundly. And the next day, they snuck away with the camera and came back.
The fairies do that, I know.
And they looked, and everyone went, they've got picked. Look, the girls are down with them. They were right. There were fairies in them. I mean, the fairies look very much like the fairies which were in Princess Mary's gift book, which is a book that's very famous and has been published recently. But look, the girls are with them. And, oh, Elsie, I mean, did you take these pictures yourself? Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. And you work at a local film processing company, don't you? She said, yes, she did. Yeah. After-school work at a local camera company. And so the family sent out these lovely photographs as Christmas gifts. They sent them out as their Christmas card. And Elsie's mother also went to the Theosophical Society with Arthur Conan Doyle, who was desperate to believe in anything because his son had died in the First World War and he was trying to make contact with him. And the mother showed them to Arthur Conan Doyle, who instantly went, these are brilliant, I must own these. Mr. Wright, how much payment would you like for them? And Arthur Wright said, no, I don't want any money for them. And many people think that's because he didn't want to be soiled by the idea of money. I think it's because he knew that if he accepted money and they turned out not to be true, he could be done for fraud. Hmm. Anyway, Arthur Conan Doyle sent them to Kodak and to Ilford to say, are these photographs real? How could this be done? How on earth could you cut a photograph out and stick it standing up? Cut a picture out and stick it on a thing? That can't be done. And Kodak said, no, those are completely real. And Ilford said, no, they're completely fake. Just ignore it. So they all went to see the girls, and they said to the girls, where are the girls? Phones? And the now girls, enough of this nonsense. Where are the fairies? And the girl said, oh, the fairies. Well, the problem with the fairies is they don't come out if anyone's watching. They stay in their holes. Yeah. They stay in their fairy holes.
Well, they're not stupid, the fairies, are they?
And so they were. No one was able to prove for 70 years that they were real. In 1983...
I was going to say, the girls admitted that the photos had been fake.
Yeah, it was on the news in your lifetime. Until that point, there was still actual debate as to whether there were fairies in the
garden.
They
are bona fide fairies. It's impossible to disprove that they are the real fairies.
Mm, they were just posing in the poses from Prince Mary's gift book, in which there was a story by Arthur Conan Doyle. So he definitely owned a copy of that book and had seen those pictures of fairies. Anyway, Francis, yes, in 1983, the girls said, yes, the photos were faked, but we really did see the fairies. So that was just, it was more of an indicative photograph.
Oh, right. It's a reconstruction. It's a reconstruction.
Yeah. I like it, girls. I see what you've done there. It's very good.
Like Police Five.
Yeah, tremendous work there.
Francis Griffith said to her the dying day that the last picture was real. It wasn't. She's a liar. That's the story of the Cottingley Fairies.
I don't know why I found that quite hard to take. Even though it's completely true what you said, I was like, ooh, a bit harsh.
You can't say that.
But then, yeah,
anyway, that's Cottingley Fairies.
Pathological lie.
Yeah, it's just she found the only bit of joy she had in her life through lying, and she stuck to it till her dying day, 70 years later.
Incredible. Yeah. All right.
Oh, it's lovely. I think that's lovely. I think that's nice. Did you not think there were fairies at the bottom of your bottom?
I think
the garden of my bottom.
I think I know who would have found them. Well, just like the Cottingley Fairies, I would like to take you to the 4th of October 1936, when two little girls cut out some pictures of 2,000 or 3,000 fascists, and they stuck them all over Stepney in the East End. It caused quite a sensation. In fact, 20,000 anti-fascist demonstrators showed up to look at the little pictures to see if this really was going on. I don't really know. It's not really working. I'm trying to thumb it in. It's not really happening. Look, it was the Battle of Cable Street. You've heard of it.
Yes.
It was a clash.
Danny Dyer's just done a thing about it.
Yeah, because he was a melt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Dyer's.
Yeah, Oldwood Meltsley, more like.
It's good that. I think I really like the kind of, yes, Danny Dyer's shtick. It's a lot of fun.
His UFO documentary is my favourite documentary of all time.
Oh, really? Okay, I'd like to see that. Anyway, the Metropolitan Police.
Danny Dyer once took me out to dinner.
Hang on, you can't just lob that in. Oh, no, let me tell you some more about the Battle of Cable... No, what? Danny Dyer took you to dinner?
Well, it was. I was in the group of people. There were six of us.
Oh, blimey.
Settle down, boys, settle down. Oh, I just started. I had just moved to Liverpool and was starting life in Hollyoaks. Picture the scene.
Yes.
Where my old friend, James Redmond, who I... knew from the stand-up scene. He had been doing Hollyoaks.
Your choice of verb.
They show the bottoms.
Swallows back. Knew.
Who I swallowed.
So, James Redmond, the lovely, fantastic man that he is, he had been abroad doing Hollyoaks Laters, which was all sex and drugs and rock and roll. And they had...
Hello, over. Lost it.
That we will never know the end
heartbreaking,
of that story.
Really. hang on, no, she's back. We lost you for a bit there. Whoa. Lizzie.
Ooh. Oh, no, you lost me.
Yeah. For the whole bit with the bucket. And
which bit did you lose?
The bit with the bucket. I don't know what bit we lost. We lost.
No.
Well, I'm going to hope that was the good bit, because all you heard was I was in Liverpool.
Yeah. So they'd be doing After Hours, Late Night, Date Fight,
maybe
Hollyoaks.
Late Night, Hollyoaks, the grown-up version. Yeah. So Danny Dyer had been doing that in Morocco, and then they'd all come up to Liverpool for a bit of ADR or, I don't know, a little bit of something. Yeah. And James said, and I was so new in town and so green about the gills, and he said, we're going out with Danny tonight. Do you fancy coming? And I was like, ooh, that's a bit frightening, but never want to miss an opportunity. So the six of us went off to some sort of chain restaurant, and I thought I was really going to hate him. I totally fell in love with him. He was so utterly charming and funny, and he knows how to play the public. He knows how to play the character of Danny Dyer superbly.
Yeah, but and with that, he's not insincere, and I think that's a clever trick.
Yeah.
He definitely knows he's playing a role, but he's also sincere within it, I think.
And he's a good bloke. And at the end, I made him laugh a lot. And at the end, he insisted on buying my dinner. That was nice.
Is that a euphemism?
No. Yeah. And then I bumped into him at the Soap Awards when he'd been doing EastEnders. Oh, he's a lovely boy.
What he's not is a melt, just like what Oswald Mosley was.
Oswald Mosley.
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. So there were 6,000 or 7,000 policemen to protect 2,000 or 3,000 fascists. 20,000 anti-fascists showed up. And it all went really well. Went really, really well. And became, you know, one of those iconic moments in the history of British fascism.
It's weird, because when other people do a march, like an anti-war march, the police turn up. They're not usually there to defend the marchers from everyone else, are they?
No, not so much.
Usually they're there to batten the people who are doing the march, rather than those people who object to the march.
Yes.
Anyway, nature of policing.
It was a wonderful time, and there's murals. They've made murals now, so that's good. Love a mural.
Oh, that's good.
Can I just say that you can have a lot of fun, you know, when you think of fairies, like the tooth fairy thing. I don't know if you did that with your kids, Nat. It's the only one that was sort of really
did this day.
Yeah, did do with Spike. And I also kind of, because that's for the milk teeth, you know, they collect the milk teeth. But I've managed to persuade Spike that he has milk almost everything. He's got milk patella. Milk kneecaps, which pop out, and then the big ones grow in. Milk fingers. So if he loses one, it's nothing to worry about. Milk eyes. So milk everything.
But what if he gets skint and you find him tying a bit of string around a finger and then tying it to a doorknob and slapping it as
hard
as he can?
Yank it out.
Like a lamb with his...
Yeah. They could get an Xbox. He's tallied it all up, like all the parts.
Yeah. Don't tell him about the poo fairy.
If he fully...
You'll go bankrupt.
If he fully desiccates himself, he can get an Xbox.
Damon Runyon, you all know who Damon Runyon was. He wrote Guys and Dolls. He's good. Happy birthday to Janis Joplin, who, according to Wikipedia, is known for her powerful mezzo-soprano vocals. Not exactly the way I would have described the way she sings. She died at 27 after an accidental overdose of heroin, 16 days after Jimmy. So, happy birthday to Janis Joplin. Died on this day in 1970. Lizzie, who's going to win today?
Who's going to win?
Well... what have we got? Those naughty girls cutting out the fascists. Do you know when you hear about something, then you end up standing on it and it's all a bit weird? Have you been to Wilton's Music Hall and then you end up in Cable Street and go, ooh, yes, I'm standing in the shadow of history.
No.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Have you never been to Cable Street?
Probably. I think I thought it was named after Vince.
Yes, or your favourite hobby. Yeah. I love the story of the fairies. I love the story of the little naughty girls. I love the fact that she lied until she died. Lie till you die.
That's a great lesson. That would be Trump's personal motto, yeah. Isn't it?
Succeed the Francis Griffiths way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And I was, I think I saw it on TV and I was so excited and it all made sense. And then I remember when I was a kid that we were convinced there were fairies that lived under the rhododendron flowers because they couldn't look more fairy. So if the fascists had had a better sense of fashion and uniform, maybe Jake would have got the points. But for today...
Come on.
It's got to be...
It's weird because the only thing usually is in their favour. Thank you very much. Wow, after that mammoth episode, thank you so much for joining. Do come back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Take care, lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've got a dinner date with Daya.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.